Hey, everybody. Before we get started, I want to put a spotlight on one of my favorite weekly listens. This is one of my favorite podcasts right now. The Three GMs and Players, we have a great story with memorable NPCs, a unique world, and absolutely wonderful characters that are just a hoot and a half to hear. I won't go on too much because they can explain it better, but they really are a treat and you should add them to your playlists.
Are you looking for your next adventure to get lost in? Do you enjoy dark fantasy, horror, slice of life? Are your favorite tropes filled with tragic backstories and a found family comprised of a snarky lesbian, a morally gray grump, and a sunshine character? Then look no further. Tune in to Tales of Three and follow the adventures of three unlucky strangers whose fates collide when they accidentally stumble upon a plot to destroy the world as they know it. Throw in some forbidden magic, a slow burn romance, hidden identities, and some devastatingly beautiful baddies who will stop at nothing to keep our trio apart. Mix it all up, and we've got your next obsession. Tales of Three, a Rainbow Dice Club production, is an all-queer, Dungeons & Dragons-based podcast that airs on Fridays. Find us at Rainbow Dice Club on most socials and at Tales of Three wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and now we start the show. Hey everybody, this is Jeff, your humble narrator and GM, and welcome back to Big Campaign Stories. We have an extra fun side hustle for you today with the wonderful cast from the Rainbow Dice Club. But before they introduce their characters, let's get them lightsaber checks. Dusty?
Yes, okay. So I roll 2d20?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's see. 13 and 3. So I got a lucky 13.
Hey. Hell yeah.
Let's go.
What does that mean? Does it mean anything if you get it?
All right. And then pick who goes next.
Wayra.
Why? I knew it. Okay.
All right. 2d20s. Let's go. I got a 2 and a 3.
Whoa. I guess that leaves me.
Yeah.
Watch me get 2 natural 20s.
Get it.
Mm-hmm. Lucky 13 and a 16.
So 2 threes and 2 13s.
That definitely means something.
Yeah.
We win.
That's what we
want. Yep, that's
yeah, no need to play. We just won. It's okay.
Thanks for having us on.
It was great. This was a blast. Look forward to next time.
Yes.
But go ahead and tell us, what are you playing today? What are your characters?
So my character is named Miko. He's an android, and he's about 6 foot, and looks generally pretty humanoid. But when he gets super excited, his circuitry will start to glow and whir, and you can hear like the whirring of it. And he is a warlock.
Should I go next?
Yes.
I was like, is there more I need to say? We're really quiet.
I don't know. Do you want us to describe what they look, are like wearing and look like too in this one, or we do
that?
Yeah,
whichever you'd like, however you'd like to do it.
Okay, yeah. So then, Miko, like I said, Miko's about 6 foot. He's got shaggy black hair, and he wears these little glasses. He doesn't need glasses. I think he thinks they look cool and make him look a bit more human. And he's currently wearing a Grateful Dead T-shirt and ripped jeans.
Amazing. I am playing Deliria. Her pronouns are she, her, and Deliria is about 5'9", plus size, light lavender skin, and completely hairless, as most voids are. Deep purple eyes, and you'll notice that, like, the left side of her body, whatever skin you can see, she has these, like, swirling patterns of, like, slightly darker lavender on her skin. And then her right side is, like, heavily pierced ears. She has an eyebrow piercing. She's wearing ripped jeans and a crop top, black combat boots. She's got a bow strapped across like her back. And she's got like this gray and black plaid shirt tied around her waist.
I guess that leaves me. Today I'm going to be playing a character named Lyris. She's about 5'3", and that's being generous. She has very like She has like very light gray skin with patches of like darker gray vitiligo. And then she has like these two high pigtails that are very long, come down to like her hips. There are like several, I think about six or seven on each side of like bright blue and pink tentacles with like large bright yellow eyes. She's wearing like what I can only describe as like a tech wear outfit, I guess. She's got like large baggy cargo pants with like all the buckles and cool stuff on it. Lots of pockets, big combat boots, and like a gun belt, I guess, on her hip. And a kind of like a compression top with some straps on it. And a baggy sweater.
Alrighty. Well, to recap our last session, our adventurers were called to investigate the disappearance of a local maintenance worker in the warehouse district of Duskbander. Following Kelmany Drive, they found the body of another handyman from the same company, one that went missing almost a week before that was not reported. Confronting the owner, they found that both of them had been called out to one of the apartment complexes the company owner controls. Though they have only found one body, it's clear that they were murdered through conventional means. But the other body, or the other handyman, is still missing. Hacking into their phones, you were able to see several messages that were sent by the missing person in the last few days, saying that they're going on a trip and won't be back for a bit. Tracking them through the continent shows that they have not been on a ship, even though they have some posts with pictures showing the shoreline of the Seleni Bay. Your investigations revealed not only was this a false trail, but there were sigils buried in the messages that modified memory. The sigils were not of an arcane or divine nature, but of one using older pact magics. We now pick up with our unlucky heroes as they are gathering information across the street from the suspected complex. So, Miko, the dark eyes stare at you from across the table, the malice and cruelty apparent as they throw their head back and laugh. You look down, realizing this is your last chance before they're able to claim victory. The small halfling child's smile is from ear to ear. You can see that they're only two spaces away from getting their piece into Rethi Square, where they can claim the control of the nine houses. Your piece is eight squares away, and behind you hear the voice of Grandma, a woman that you've met, Donna Crabscurry, who came out when you started approaching the Del Vista condo across the street. Pablo, don't be a shit. You haven't won yet. The small child will laugh and, but I'm only two spaces away, Grandma. But it is your turn, Miko. You can roll 2d6 to see if you can get your martyr to the square first. Otherwise, Paolo will win.
I think Miko thinks about casting Minor Illusion to try and gain an advantage. But at the same time, I think he doesn't. He's like, it's really not that deep. It's a child. I think he's just gonna try to see if he'll win.
Let's go.
He literally was like, for a split second, was like, I wonder if I can. No, it's fine. Okay, so that is 2, 3, so 6 total.
All right, your piece stops just a bit short as Paolo cries out in victory. The grandmother will, okay, get out of here. Paolo, go play outside. And he'll giggle and laugh as Sophia, Donna's wife, will give you all some water and tea. Thank you for taking over. We had to pull the rolls out of the oven as the smell of warm baked dough fills the air. And Donna will hand out pies of brie and rosemary, honey with a shrimp mixture, and mango chutney.
Yum.
So you're looking into the next apartment, the next condo.
We are. What can you tell us?
Donna Crabscurry would... Well, it's just been odd the last several weeks. Our neighbor across the way, Athena, has not come out for our weekly cook-offs. And you can see Sophia behind her kind of roll her eyes. As it looks like there's an ongoing rivalry there. But it's very odd. Her last baked goods were nowhere near where they should be. And then just last weekend, she just didn't come out. We haven't heard from her since. So I'm worried, but she's not answering her calls.
Deliria nods and helps herself to some of the yummy food that just came out.
I think Miko takes a plate of food, but doesn't eat it. Do androids eat?
They can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he'll like nibble on some food, and I think he'll go, do you remember, like, was there anything remarkable about the last time you saw her?
Yeah, Donna ponders it for a bit before Sophia will kind of cut in and, well, she was looking a little bit more pale. We asked if she was sick. She said she wasn't. Just, I guess maybe she wasn't feeling competitive, which is very odd for a Corlean, as that is one of their preferred things to do. They've been doing these cook-offs for the last many months, and Donna will, with pride, and I win almost every time. But Sophia will roll her eyes at that as well.
Now, really quick, I just have a question. So Athena is the one that we were originally called to investigate for?
Yeah, you were called for the handyman that disappeared.
Okay.
And this is the complex that they were going to, is the one across the street.
Gotcha.
Basically nosy neighbors.
Okay, so now they're telling us that somebody else went missing, essentially, that we didn't know about. Yeah,
that they're still there and they're not behaving like they should.
Okay. Has anyone knocked on her door recently?
Sophia would. I did try knocking a couple days ago, but there's no answer.
We should probably talk to the landlord and see about getting a key to get in there.
Or we could just go, like, bust it.
I mean, or we could, take the middle of the two and just go and knock.
But busting in sounds more fun, Miko.
But also, there is a thing called jail.
Psst. There will be no jail today. And Deliria looks at Lyris pointedly.
She's like, she sits down crisscross applesauce on a chair and like reaches over and grabs a bun and just kind of snaps it in half and shoves one half in her mouth.
I mean, I would prefer no jail ever, but yeah, totally not today. I think.
Would be a bad day for jail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She looks at Donna and Sophia. And no noise coming from next door?
No. Or nothing that we've heard. We've tried calling the Seekers, basically the cops.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so busy right now with everything that's going on that they have not swung by yet.
Well, I guess it's up to us then.
All right. And Miko stands. Anything else weird that's happened, I guess?
Sophia would say, not with the building, but yeah, there was a guy who came here looking for one of our other tenants. Left a letter, but didn't seem to stick around. We hadn't seen him before, so figured it was just a delivery.
Who did he leave the letter with?
Donna would say, for Polvino, the Ilikin, who stays a couple floors up. He's not home very often, but...
She nods. I suppose we'll knock on the door and see if she's there, and if not, we'll go find the landlord and see if perhaps he'll let us in.
Yeah, both the halfling women look worried and... anything you could tell us. We just want to make sure that Athena Dusk is okay.
We'll do our best to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the delicious food.
Like any kind of grandma, Donna Crab's Curry will make sure that you all have a few for to go, even though you're going just across the street.
It's okay, we need it.
Like everybody gets a to-go bag with about three or four in it.
Heck yeah. Thanks, cute. Donna.
Miko tucks it into this like sling bag he's got across his back. And gives a thumbs up.
You watch like Lyris shove them in some of her big pockets.
So pocket I do business. Have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
So with the warlock super intelligence, I have an AI servant.
Yeah. Well, as far as the servant, that can look however you want. If you'd like it to be like a little drone that floats along with you, or if you want it to be a small, hologram projected little AI person that hangs out with you, whatever fits the aesthetic you'd like best.
Can it be a mechanical monkey?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a mechanical monkey. So I think...
how cute.
A mechanical monkey named Darth. And it like crawls out from where it was. I think it was just like sort of playing around with maybe the children and crawls up Miko's pant leg and then settles on his shoulder.
Perfect. Yeah. Paulo, the grandkid, will finish putting on his shoes and run outside as you are all getting ready to leave. You'll see him grabbing a small skateboard to practice tricks outside on the street. Even though this is part of a giant city, this still feels like one of those small neighborhood boroughs. Okay. So the streets, there's a few cars parked outside, but mostly there's people playing. Halflings, Ilikin, all types are mixed, hanging out in the streets out here. You can see where there are tables that normally get set up for that kind of got mentioned before about the cook-offs they do on the weekends. But it's an overcast day here in Dusk Banter. You can smell the warm pavement for when the sun does come through. But otherwise, the rows and rows of kind of apartments with businesses on the first floor that you can see both to the left and right.
Awesome. So I guess we want to go knock on Athena's door, right? Do we want and see if we see anything? Or mm-hmm. just see if she answers?
Yeah, sure.
You're easily able to go in through the front door that's not like locked or blocked off or anything. But you'll enter into the Del Vista condos and check in the directory.
Mm-hmm.
At the mailboxes, you can see Athena is on the first floor. So as you come in, you can see the roundabout stairs that go up.
Okay.
And you'd have a first apartment on the left, second apartment on the right, and then looks like it's about a four-story building.
Yeah, so and we can get to the doors. It's not like a lobby where we have to be buzzed in or anything.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Are there balconies?
Ooh. So the first floor would have basically that kind of that area that if it was further up, it'd be a balcony, but it's just on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But there are balconies, yeah, further up on the second, third, and fourth.
So I think we'll go knock on the door and see if anybody answers.
The heavy knock just seems to peter out, right? There's no response on the other side. But go ahead and give me perception checks.
Let's go. First roll for me.
15.
Well, you can take it. 7.
15.
19 total.
Cool.
I got a 7. I was... It's not like it's making it any better. I got a 7 total. I got a 2 on the die.
No, 7 plus 19 equals 25.
Yeah, thanks,
no,
26. Jesse.
And then, wait, your number was what?
15?
Yeah, so 20, 30, whatever.
Remember the cheating thing I was telling you about before?
So no extra information was gleaned for Deliria for this?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, my passive is a 20. Can she be so passively percepting?
Yeah, your passive perception's high enough, but Miko and Lyris, you're also able to hear like somebody move in the apartment, but not like move towards the door, right? Like you hear somebody's in there.
Mm.
Interesting.
Deliria looks at Lyris and... Essentially, this is me saying, wait around, didn't you have an idea about the back balcony?
Yeah.
Walk in, whatever.
Kind of like does a two-fingered salute and walks back down, heads back downstairs. She's going to go outside and try to like scale the balconies.
Well, she's on the first floor.
She's on the first floor?
Yeah.
Oh,
so does she have a like a walk-up then? Like,
yeah, like,
so
the
like
patio.
A backsliding door? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So she's going to go, I guess she's going to go outside and like sneak and try to like peer through the sliding door discreetly.
Okay. Yeah. Trying to catch a glimpse between the curtains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Behind you, the small halfling child will watch what you are doing, right? As they stare across the street with their skateboard. But go ahead and give me your perception outside as you're trying to find a spot to catch a glimpse of behind the curtains.
Oh, that's better. I don't know why I'm looking like I have a plus to my perception. Oh, I do. That's why. 22.
Yeah, 22. You can see the lower half of a person laying down facing inward on a couch. It's dark in the condo, just ambient lighting. You can see what plants are wilted a bit from the angles you can catch, but it looks like a person who's just laying on the couch.
I don't like it.
Interesting. And there's like... Before we heard someone moving,
mm-hmm.
Can I tell if the person laying on the couch is like moving at all or are they eerily still?
No, you rolled high enough. You can see that they're moving, like you'd see like their leg fidget.
Okay. I'm just going to move away from the door a little bit and she's going to kind of like press on a little ear, her little earring that she's got. She's going to contact Deliria, who sometimes she affectionately refers to as Delulu.
okay, yep.
Okay, yep.
Yep, we're going with that.
She's like, sorry, I'm laughing still. So, someone's sitting on the couch. I can break the window.
You hear back. Let's not break the window. I'm going to knock again, like, a little bit more firmly.
Cop knock.
You hear, you're literally no fun.
She doesn't answer.
And Lyris, you can see the person on the couch kind of flip back over when the knock happens, as they'll grab a pillow and put it up closer to their head.
Just trying to sleep.
Seeing them flip over, it doesn't look like they're asleep so much as just not wanting to gauge. Like, eyes are open, but they're not focused. They're not really looking in the direction like you are or anything. They just response to that knock is just a lot of that as they shift over. And both Miko and Deliria, you can hear that same kind of slight shuffle sound on the other side of the door.
Do we want to try to get in? Or is this lady just trying to take a nap and we are ruining her day?
No, actually, I'm about to ruin her day so much more.
Incredible.
I mean, because we could just, like, we could try to lockpick the door, but, like, what are we going to do? Just be like, hey, lady.
Just
This is going to end with us going to jail, isn't it?
Just like pound on the door and be like, FBI, open up.
Are you looking to see if you have something, Dusty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I have an idea.
Okay.
So minor illusion, you create a sound or image of an object within range that lasts for duration. So the range is 30 feet. I thought about making the sound of a fire alarm. Inside her apartment. What do we think?
I mean, I'm down for it.
I feel like otherwise, that's going to scare the crap out of her, but I'm here for it.
But you could make her leave of her own, and then we could just be like, oh, hey.
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Do it.
Okay. So I think you watch as Miko, like, touches. He's got this, like, chain around his neck that has a little pendant that's the symbol of his deity. And all of a sudden, inside the apartment, an alarm goes off, and it sounds like a fire alarm going off, and it's loud.
I'm watching.
Yeah, watching from outside, the figure on the couch will lethargically start to move to that. Hmm. They sit up. They seem to look more annoyed, but they also seem to have this look on their face like they don't, like they're remembering what this noise is supposed to be.
Mm-mm. I'm gonna message to Deliria and be like, they look really fucking tired. Like someone after a long night out partying.
Party.
And like you're waking up and you're like not really there. You know what I mean?
I cannot say that.
Like hungover, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully she comes to the door now.
And watching, she will get up. You'll see what the heavy creases in her clothes. Corleone woman, you'd see the white streaks of an older woman, about 6'3", with that Corleone kind of olive skin, as they'll start slowly shambling towards the door. For Miko and Deliria, you can hear somebody getting closer. Somebody on the second floor of the one above Athena will definitely open their door and kind of, you'll hear, well, you'll hear them like pop their head out and notice that like the fire alarm noise gets quieter as they get out, move away from their apartment.
Obsessed.
So they'll kind of, they will poke their head down the stairs and, is everything okay?
Yeah, Delete. Everything's fine. We're just testing the alarm.
Oh, okay. Oh, just a test. Okay, good. And they'll head back up. But for Miko and Deliria, the door will open very slowly as this bedraggled kind of look, and you can see the shadow under the eyes, the bags. You can see the cheeks are sunken in a bit. When they open, the house smells stale. Like no one's opened these windows or doors in probably quite a bit. You can see most of the plants look like they're wilting, and there's like a faint smell of like burnt pastries that's maybe a few days old. But the older woman will stop and look at you and, hello?
Hello? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Miko doesn't have medicine, but Miko will roll medicine to see if this woman is actually okay. Okay. Let's see what I got.
What'd you get?
That's a dirty 20. That's a
90.
Plus one.
I'm going to have Lyra's make her way back upstairs.
Yeah.
Same floor.
I mean, around. Sorry.
Wait, we really wanted to
scale the balcony. We're not. I'm sorry. I just really want to climb the fucking balcony, okay?
Oh my goodness.
But with a dirty 20 on medicine, Athena does not look well. You can see that dehydration look to her. Skin seems very dry. There's a heavy pattern on one side of her body, which shows kind of that she's been laying on the couch for a very long time.
Sorry, but you don't, like, really look okay.
You look like shit. Lyris comes up behind them.
Delirium jumps.
You hear Miko's gears whirl.
She just seems to take it all in and kind of, okay.
Take it all in?
Have you had anything to eat or drink recently?
Her face looks like she's trying to remember, but seems to kind of barely choke out that, like, no, I'm not hungry.
Okay, well, you kind of still need to eat, right? And he looks at the other two.
Yes, that is correct, yes. Perhaps we should go back inside your apartment and get you something to drink and eat.
Yeah, she'll step out of the way and, okay.
No self-preservation.
Yeah, something's very wrong here. Yeah,
truly.
When Deliria walks in, she's immediately going to like scan for anything that might stand out as like a clue as to what, like obviously something is wrong here.
Yeah, a quick look around the apartment. It feels stale. The air has that warm, stale feeling to mm-hmm. it. You can smell and you can see the oven where it's been cracked open. Mm-hmm. But there's just some overcooked pastries that have long since gone past what would even be okay on the day after shelf. You can see where cups of water were on the table. Some have spilled. It looks like none of it's been cleaned up, so there's just wet stains. Their TV is not on. The room door is still open. But they live here, it looks like, by themselves. But none of the plants seem to have been watered.
And there's no signs of, like, another person or something else being here?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
Do we get, like, any weird feelings walking in? Besides, like, the air being incredibly stale?
Yeah, go ahead and give me an insight.
Ooh.
Insight.
Can we all roll?
Absolutely.
No, that's a 4.
I don't know.
Too busy opening the windows.
I bother. 9 total.
19.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, as far as for Miko and Deliria, maybe it's just that mixed smell of just person and pastry that just kind of gives this place that like condemned bakery vibe. But for Lyris, yeah, there is something nagging at the back of your mind. It feels like the colors mute a little bit more in here. Like there's less texture, there's less to see a bit.
Like it's faded?
Yeah, yeah. Like you're, so for some reason, like stepping in here, almost like you're losing vibrancy from your surroundings.
She stops walking into the apartment, or yeah, the condo, and kind of looks, she's going to look at her like, her tentacles, do they look as vibrant as usual?
They do not.
Just gonna walk back out the door. Are they vibrant again?
They are.
Weird.
Lyris, what are you doing?
Look, and she like walks into the apartment. She's like, color's faded, right?
Do I see it?
From inside the apartment, no. It stays consistent to you, at least.
Come to the door.
Interesting. No. See what?
She like squints. Come here.
I go over.
See? Dull, right?
Now do I see it?
She like pushes her out the door.
Yeah, with it pointing out and being able to compare.
Uh-huh.
And seeing like Miko in there and Darth. Darth does not have the vibrancy that they normally do. Out here you feel like you can smell a little bit sharper, though it seems to mute itself a little bit once you go back in.
So now I think Deliria and Lyris are both going in and out of the door.
It's like, I think Miko looks over. He's like, what are y'all doing?
There seems to be some sort of distortion happening when we walk into this place.
It's like the vibrancy is sucked out of you when you walk in here. It's weird.
How do you feel, Miko?
How do I feel any different?
You do not.
I feel fine. Do you feel different?
Yeah, I walk in there and I can't smell or see as sharply as I can up there. It's a pretty fucking stark difference. I don't
So do we need to just like get her out of here, or can I like look around for any sort of like maybe devices or anything that would be doing this?
Yeah, give me another perception check.
Okay. That is a 22.
Okay. Especially with your knowledge of technology, Miko. As you look around, it doesn't look like Athena had a lot in that sense, right? There's not a lot of, they seem to have, you know, pretty standard TV, a single data pad, not too much excess technology here. Biggest thing you notice is that the last few cups over by the sink, though the water is on, there's no water coming out, and the cups are just kind of left strewn about on the counter next to it.
So the water is on, but though no, there's no water coming out of the sink?
Mm-hmm. Out of the faucet, yeah.
Out of the faucet? Okay. I go over and I guess I shut off the knob first.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything off about the knob, like the spout or whatever?
No, doesn't look like it's obstructed in any way. Just if you try either side of it, nothing seems to come out.
And I've opened all the windows at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help anything?
Yeah, I mean, definitely for all of you. Once those windows are open, it starts getting rid of that smell, that stale smell, and fresh air kind of comes in. You'd see Athena does react a little bit more to that, of kind of like, oh, it's a nice day outside. But opening those windows, the smells would start to lessen, of course, as fresh air comes in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the area still seems to linger a bit, but it's odd enough that it does bother all of you a little bit. Like, why does it still feel like I'm in an abandoned building?
Are there any other nozzles that are on that I can tell? Or is it just that one?
Just that one. You can try in the bathroom. It'd be the same thing.
The same thing, like it's off or it's on?
That no water comes out.
Okay. I'm going to make sure all the nozzles are closed and that all the windows are open.
Okay.
When we were investigating the other disappearances, I don't know if we got to see anything there. Is this familiar or similar in any way to anything we've investigated thus far?
No. The other gentleman, the first victim that you found, Mabel Lamson, looks like they were bludgeoned and left out by the side of a freeway on ramp. And then the other body, Sumdell, has not been found yet.
Okay. I want to check out the bedroom and just see if there's anything that, any type of clues in there.
Is there like an area in the condo where like, I don't know, I guess it feels especially stale and lackluster? Like,
yeah, you'd notice that when you get to the bedroom, almost all the colors seem to be gone. And when you were going back here to check for clues, you definitely see some clothes that have been left out. And they do look like nice clothes, but looks like they haven't been touched in quite a while.
Well, I think Deliria turns to her friends. I think perhaps we should bring Athena over to Donna and Sophia, see if they'll let her stay there, maybe. I don't think she should stay in here.
Or at least they're outside, you know?
I agree with that.
There's something strange about the bedroom.
There's something strange about every room, honestly.
No, but the bedroom feels worse.
I'm going to go in the bedroom and see if I can see what Deliria is talking about.
I'm going to walk in with them so they can watch the blue and pink fade to gray.
Yeah, absolutely. This will be noticeable enough that, yeah, no checks are necessary as you kind of enter in and all of you have that, early part of Pleasantville look. The very muted colors almost to black and white.
Uh-huh. Do I feel any different, though?
Would it be wild if, like, we stayed the night to, like, see what happens?
Yes. Mika will say no to that.
We wake up and Blyers would be like, I feel like the dead. Is there, like, an item or something in here that's, like, especially on a grayscale where it seems, like, really dull?
There's not a specific item in the bedroom that stands out like that. And Miko, it is affecting you now, but probably maybe not to the extent that the way Lyris and Deliria are explaining it.
Okay.
Your android eyes seem to still be able to see colors, though it is, you are noticing that it's like, oh yeah, that red isn't quite red.
Okay. I think as they stand there a little bit, he's like, I kind of see what you're talking about now, but it's still not as, I don't think I get it as bad as you guys do. I don't know if that's because of, you know, the android thing.
If it doesn't affect androids like it does us, then she kind of like, you can see she's like thinking, well, I mean, something must be doing this. This is not naturally occurring.
When did Donna say that she started like not wanting to compete anymore?
It's been a slow progression over the last several weeks.
Several weeks. Maybe we should probably like ask if Athena if there's like anything weird in her place or if she did anything new.
Athena is just sat by the door. Once you all entered past her, she just would have sat down.
Oh, okay. Weird. Okay. She's like tired.
Is she doing any better with the windows being open?
Her eyes look more responsive, like she's looking around at him, but she herself does not seem to be reacting.
I think we should take her outside and see if we can get her to give us information.
Yeah. Is there like a patio set on her little area out there?
Yeah.
I'm going to go over to Athena. Athena, right?
She slowly looks up and yes.
Just going to crouch down. My name's Lyris. I'm with this little investigation group. Why don't we go outside and like have a little chat and maybe get you something to eat or drink? I know you said you weren't hungry, but sometimes it kind of kicks in once you start munching, you know?
She'll watch you speak and seems to take it in, but doesn't really react. If you hold her hand or lift her up, she'll follow along.
Yeah, she's going to help her up and take her outside and ease her into a chair, I think.
Take her outside and sitting her at the patio. You can see the crab scurries peeking out of their window across the street.
Deliria waves.
She's gonna get a biscuit out of one of the packs.
Yeah.
And give it to her, and then, I don't know, I guess get her some water or something.
Yeah, yeah. If you brought some water, perfect.
Yep.
Otherwise, none of the faucets work.
Yeah, fair. She'll give her some of hers.
This does cause her to react. She will, as she starts to eat a little bit and get some fresh water. It's not immediate, but you can see her face seems to get a little bit more color back.
Good, good.
Okay, this is good.
I think she's going to sit out there with her for a little bit while she regains her thing and leave the other two to keep investigating. Once she's got more energy back, she'll start asking some questions, but right now she needs to eat and drink, so.
Can I turn the TV on? Yeah. Is there like electricity? Like maybe it's like a TV, like hypnotizing, you know? My brain is everywhere right now.
I kind of have an idea on what I think it is, but I don't know if it's real. Like if that's the real solution.
Yeah, you turn on the TV. It looks like she was watching news. You see an android in a void doing the usual snow days broadcast as they're talking about problems in the city.
Deliria's ripping this woman's condo apart. If she doesn't find anything, then you can go back to Lyris. Hopefully she'll regain something as she gets, you know, fresh air and stuff.
After eating several of the shrimp pastries that you have, we'll be coherent enough to kind of now stop and look. And why are you in my apartment?
Your friends across the way there, Donna, they were a little concerned about you.
You'll definitely see that look across your face like, Donna's not my friend.
She smiles. Your friendly competition is a little worried about you.
She'll, you know, what day is it?
I tell her the day.
Yeah, she'll. I've been feeling a little bit not well.
Yeah, you look kind of sick. I'm not going to lie. Is there anything new that kind of came into your place and started this, or is this...
She'll ponder a bit as she washes down the pastry, and I mean, I called Carl the other week about that the water was cold, or the water wasn't working. I wonder if he got that fixed.
No.
And yeah, she'll look over at Miko and, I don't remember, I guess, if anything's been wrong the last few days.
Hmm. Do you remember anyone coming into your apartment a couple days ago a couple weeks ago before you started to feel this way? Or did you bring anything new in?
No, I do my weekly shopping and getting my spices and getting ready for my next recipe, and she'll side eye over at Donna's condo. But the new tenant took the basement floor, I think, a couple weeks, but he was nice. Yeah, she just seems to kind of trail off as she is having a hard time. The way she speaks, you can tell that she doesn't quite remember the last couple of weeks, and that's seems fair. To always be treating it like yesterday or a couple days ago, even though from what you've seen, it's clearly been some time since she's been up and about.
Okay, so she's going to pretend like it was just a couple of days ago then. What's the last thing you remember? Like, let's say yesterday. What were you doing?
Yeah, yesterday I called about the hot water because I'm working on a recipe to be able to put Donna in her place this weekend. And that was the last thing I remember being important.
And Carl is a handyman?
The superintendent.
Super, okay.
Yeah, he was going to call a handyman to come fix the water.
Do you have Carl's number by chance? Or I can go get it for you. You just got to tell me where it is.
She'll pat around and, I can't find my HCOM, my phone. But Miko and Deliria, you would have seen that sitting on the table.
When we turned the apartment over. Deliria will grab it.
Miko will follow because he really wants to check out the water boiler that I assume is in the unit.
Oh, I want to go to the basement.
Oh yeah, we're going to the basement.
Yeah, Athena will, once she has her phone, will try to make a call, but after a few rings, I guess Carl's not answering. Carl picks stuff up in the day, so he might be back later.
All right, fair enough. Do you mind if I steal the number from you?
Yes, she'll transfer it over to you. Tap her phone on the side of yours.
Appreciate that. How you feeling now?
She, stretches out? She's like, I feel better. I think I just need some fresh air.
I think there's something, this is going to sound weird, just to be upfront. I think that maybe you should get away from your your condo for a few days. Is there somewhere you can go?
No, I don't have any family in the city.
Hmm.
Well, then it looks like you're staying next door with your friendly competition. You cannot stay here.
We're worried that there might be something, maybe some kind of contaminant or something that's like making you feel lethargic like this.
Yeah, go give me a persuasion.
She doesn't want her to panic, so she might be lying through her teeth, but
I mean, I'll take deception as either or whichever you're going with.
They're both not great.
I have a negative one, so I'm...
I have a zero, but I did roll a 17.
You can see the stubborn old person apprehension of the idea of going over to Donna's house.
Yeah.
At the same time, this would be the moment where you'd zoom in and you'd see Donna and Sophia looking through the window as Donna's eyes would squint and what are they doing? I don't like it.
I can go ask them. I just don't think that it's a good idea for you to stay here.
Yeah, with the 17, she's definitely going to listen to you. I don't know if, once again, that embarrassed stubbornness of like, I don't know if it's worth bothering him.
For your health, I think anything's worth it, you know?
I'm not there anymore, but I really wish I was.
Miko, if you check inside here, you'd see that there's not a boiler in the condo. All the piping goes down to the basement. So, like, they have a small, like, electric water heater kind of box that's supposed to pull up water and then heat it here before it goes to the pipe. But there's not, like, standing water.
Okay, then I'm just going to go to the basement without telling anybody. Me and my monkey.
You should.
Going out the front door and underneath the stairwell, though some people have some stuff stored there, you can see there is a door under the stairwell that is locked, and you can see there is a fresh padlock on it.
I'm going to try and open it. Is it like a one with a key, or is it like a dial pad?
So it looks like there is a dial pad next to it, and there is a padlock, like a physical key one that is new that has been put on it.
Can I open it with just the keypad, or do I need a key?
Yeah. For the physical padlock, you would need a key. Or, in classic D&D fashion, or violence.
Or violence, uh-huh.
And the block you could probably hack into, potentially. I mean, you don't imagine there's a lot of technological security for a condo of this level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to send my AI into the padlock to open it. And then I'm going to use my thieves' tools to open the physical one.
Hey!
Which one do you want me to roll first?
Yeah, let's do the physical one first.
Okay, that is an 18 plus proficiency, so 21.
Okay, yeah, great.
Pops the fuck open.
This lock clearly was bought at like a local Quickie Mart or like it's not fancy.
Quickie Mart.
And so yeah, it with a 21, definitely it pops right open. Awesome. And then go and give me for the electronic check for Darth.
Okay, so 15 plus 3 plus my proficiency bonus?
Yeah, with a 22. Darth will bounce back out and you'll see the padlock kind of shift to green before it gives the light saying it's open.
We high five.
Hell yeah.
And then I go in.
The door is open. And then Deliria, where are you?
I think I was outside. I went back outside probably and would help escort Athena across the street, make sure she gets where she's going safely and that, you know, she's not going to leave. And then would head back. I don't know if Lyra's comes with.
I think Lyra went like ahead and was like, here's the situation, Donna. Can she stay with you for a little bit? Because like, there's something clearly wrong with her apartment.
Something clearly wrong.
Lyra's, yeah, definitely as you get there, there would be that moment of Sophia and Donna running away from the window.
Right? I'm obsessed with them. Like, I'm genuinely obsessed with them.
As Sophia opens the door and Donna's in the kitchen, she's like, oh, you're back. Is everything okay? But you can see Donna's like side-eyeing out the window, watching Delirious and Athena getting closer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Sophia would be, what can we help with?
So, no need for pretenses. I saw y'all watching. It's fine. I would be too, to be completely honest. So, Athena's not doing great, but we think it's because there's something wrong with her apartment or her condo. And it's making her like lethargic. You know what I mean? Like, so we're trying to figure out what's going on with that. But in the meantime, she needs somewhere to stay. She's got no family.
So there's an immediate no starting to form from Donna's lips before Sophia would put out her finger and continue.
She's like, I know you guys are like rivals or something, but I'm wondering if she can stay with you guys until, you know, we figure out what's going on.
Sophie, would give us just one moment.
Yeah, for sure.
And you hear the quick back and forth like, now, quiero fazer isso. Come on. And they start arguing for a moment before the door opens. Sophia says, absolutely, absolutely.
Perfect.
You can see Donna is putting towels over all of her spices.
oh my God. Yeah,
she's laughing. She's like, good idea, Donna. Good idea.
But they will take Athena from you.
Nice.
Awesome. As we'll cut back to Miko,
who gets a message.
The stairs go down and curve to the left, going back underneath the first two floor apartments. It is absolutely dark down here, but you can, as you get to the first landing, so about seven steps down, go and give me your perception.
Okay. 10.
As an android, all of these things, you know, smells, taste, all that, you know, you can do it. And to some extent, you wonder if what you're tasting is what other people taste.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the problem here, is there's a smell here that you just don't quite recognize.
Okay.
But you can definitely feel that staleness is more pervasive the lower you get.
Do I have any reason to be nervous about what I'm doing currently?
Worry about police or like...
Danger, I guess. I cast mage armor at like the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. If I feel like I'm gonna get fucked up. Do I feel like this is a moment where I should be casting mage armor?
So coming down here then, go and roll me a wisdom saving throw. You do have advantage on this.
Okay.
If you fail this, no, you don't feel like you're in any danger. If you pass, you're probably gonna feel like mage armor.
Okay. You said it's what? A wisdom saving throw?
Mm-hmm.
That is I rolled a 13 and a 16. So basically a crit with the 13 if we're playing Arya's rules.
No, that only works for me.
Oh, I see how it is.
Listen, I have to have something, okay?
Oh, wait, no, sorry. It's a wisdom saving throw?
Yeah.
I'm proficient in that. Okay, wait, add three. Add three to that number. A 16 and a 19.
Okay, I was like, that's odd, because I swear warlocks got wisdom.
Yeah.
No worries. Perfect. So, even better. For a moment there, this incredibly big, powerful wave of apathy seems to hit you. Like, your movement starts to slow, your brain starts to get fogged for a moment, but you snap out of it. Whether it's, you know, Darth hopping on your shoulder, something kind of brings you back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you definitely feel that feeling of, like, mage armor might be good, as it feels dangerous, because with how hard that feeling hit you, something is down here in the darkness that is unnatural.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to very quickly tap my necklace, and this like prismatic wave of energy comes over me from head to toe and then melds into my skin, and I cast mage armor.
That's dope.
Can I say that at this point you hear a little beep in your ear and you hear Deliria?
I don't know, can like, you?
What the fuck?
Do you? Can you?
Yes. You hear... Miko, where did you go?
Can I respond or no?
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think you're like your Star Trek kind of tri-quarters thing.
I think Deliria gets back. Basement.
Just one word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basement.
Deliria looks at Lyris and like picks up her pace and sighs and doesn't say anything, just starts heading towards the towards the basement.
No words? Cool. Okay.
No words. Okay, cool.
Is it serious? I'm guessing it's serious. She's like following.
Miko is in the basement.
Motherfucker. I wanted to go to the basement too. She like does her little twist to your ear and she's like, Miko, what the hell?
Do I hear that?
Yeah.
You get back the sound equivalent of a shrug, which is just like, huh?
Love it.
Moving down towards the basement here, you can hear the the thump of the water heaters down here. Though everything is dark, it looks like the lights have been turned off. You can see the outline forms from the light coming behind you. Washing machines lined up against one wall and then expands outward underneath the first two apartments.
And Athena said somebody moved down here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do we see any signs of a person or like someone essentially living down there?
Or another condo?
Like, where's this person, like?
Yes, so coming down here, go ahead and give me those perceptions.
Those good perceptions.
Those good perception checks.
I have not rolled higher than a 10. I know I haven't rolled very much, but that's
you
a 3.
Switch out your dice.
For a total of 8.
I got a natural 1 for a total of 7.
I love that for us.
What and Dusty, what was yours?
I'm already down there. Do I have to roll perception?
This is just for additional info.
14.
So where it are is as you get to the top of the stairs, heading down afterwards, you don't seem to register anything besides that oppressive kind of stale smell again.
Okay.
As you both start to descend, go ahead and give me your wisdom saving throws.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about this.
Okay. Yeah, if you have any advantage or ability towards charm.
I do. Wait, I do. Hold on. Sorry, I got so excited. I have... Okay, so one time to prolong rest, I can get advantage on a charm saving throw. And if I fail, I can suppress the effect for the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use that. So I'm going to roll 2 dice. So let's see. Is that a... What is that? Oh, it's a 3. Okay, hold on. Jesus, I swear. It's not good. It's a wisdom... It's a 9. It's a 9 with advantage. I just have the worst luck.
I got an 18.
Nice.
And I have keen sight, which lets me see for 60 feet in darkness.
Okay, great. So your natty one is a lot less restricting on info.
I feel like maybe she like bumped her head or got some dust in her eyes when she was looking around, you know?
Lyris, you will pass the wisdom saving throw, as you will also get hit with that wave of apathy that you're able to reject. But Deliria, it hits you hard.
Mm-hmm.
For right now, your movement is reduced to 5 feet.
Ooh.
You gain disadvantage on all strength and dexterity checks, and you lose the ability to take bonus actions.
No way!
Yo.
Okay, 5 feet.
As for you, at least, sounds get muffled, smells seem to disappear, color seems to drain.
Okay.
Yeah, you just kind of don't care. Like, you don't... What is this basement about? Why are we here?
She just stops.
Her voice of reason has left us.
I feel like Deliria has like a presence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel it just kind of like almost like shrink away. And she just stops. And she's just like staring off.
And Lyris, with your keen eyesight in the darkness, push back further than the laundry machines where the water heaters are. Out of the 3, they're lined up against the wall. The 3rd one seems to be cracked open. Though you can see water spilled around the base of it, there's also a body here that looks very shriveled in that same handyman outfit.
A body? Oh, God.
Pressed against the wall where the piping runs through it, you see a humanoid-esque form. Multitudes of arms seem to be reaching out of the wall, wrapping around, caressing, and holding an upper torso without its own arms.
Oh, my God.
A bald, eyeless, noseless face seems to be reached out in a screaming pattern. As you can see hands extending out of its mouth, both at top and bottom. They look as though there's something trying to crawl out of its face.
No, thank you.
No,
thank you.
Nope. Lyris is like, pretends, she just like slowly looks over at Deliria and she's like, so Deliria, listen, now is not the time to be like Delulu. So, snap out of a bitch. And she like smacks her.
It like shakes her. She's like, hello. Does anything happen when she slaps me?
It doesn't hurt. The noise seems to be pretty quiet. As far as you feel, like it was a light tap.
Yeah, she doesn't react. She just kind of shrugs you off.
I don't like this. She like clicks the button. She's like, Miko?
Miko, you are down there just amongst the darkness. Of course, you can't see this form yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Miko's like, yeah.
There's that fucking arm monster behind the 3rd washing bin. And Deliria has gone to Lulu.
Help. An arm monster?
What the fuck?
That's what I'm wondering. What are you talking about? Can I look now and see if I can see this thing?
Yeah, are you flicking on lights, flashlight, cell phone?
Yeah. Can I say, because I'm an android, can I say that I, like, tap the side of my head where my temple is, and then, like, a light comes out of my eyes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, in my eyes, yeah. So I do that. I tap the side of my head where my left temple is, And my eyes just shine like flashlights.
That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. With you doing that, you illuminate the scene, right? You spot the mattress over in the corner behind the washing machines. And as you pan over, you see the body, the packed symbols carved into the ground of the wall, this arm-covered form bound into the wall above the water heater as its lower part drips in, as it lets out kind of a very deep, low resonant hum in reaction to light being put on it. And let's roll initiatives.
Ooh. Miko says, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, no shit. Do I have any, like, I just can roll regular for initiative?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. See? Dirty 20.
Does my AI share my initiative?
Yeah, I'd say it shares your initiative.
Okay. 14.
19.
Sorry.
Math is hard.
The monster will go first.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
As the presence seems to reach out towards you. Though right now you're still about 30 feet away at the base of the stairs across the basement. So, Miko, go ahead and give me an intelligence saving throw.
Okay, let's do this. Intelligence saving throw. 12.
Hi, Miko.
Are we all dumb as hell?
Yes.
Yeah. I love this.
Yes. 2.
Yeah, as the creature screeches and reaches out towards you.
Uh-huh.
With a 12, you will take 17 points of psychic damage.
What?
I'm sorry, did you say 7D or 17?
17.
Okay, cool.
I don't like either, but I like 17 better, I guess.
Oh. My soul left my body for a second.
And for this next round, though, you can see the runes written on the ground, you can see the corpse, the body at the base of the water heater. For whatever reason, you do not know, or you can't remember why everyone's freaking out.
No.
Ari, it is your turn.
Can I attack it, even though I'm like super nonchalant about this whole situation?
You can. You are still filled with apathy. You do get to roll another wisdom saving throw at the beginning of your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to do that right now. So wisdom saving throw. Come on, come on, come on. Okay, lucky 13 for a 16.
All right, with a 16, that does not do it.
Fuck. Okay. So I can't do a bonus action, right?
Right, so you lose the ability for bonus actions. It's your racial ability to ignore. Use it last time, so you're ignoring it for this round.
Okay. Oh, I see. So that means, so then I...
You can use bonus actions. You can use all your stuff as you would normally, and then next round it'll kick back in.
So she gets like a moment of clarity, and she whispers something almost in like a hiss underneath her breath, and I want to Hunter's Mark this thing with a bonus action. Okay. So that'll give me an extra D6 of damage as she whips her bow off her back and pulls it back and like eagle-eyed. Maybe. Oh, maybe. Does a 17 hit?
17 does hit.
Okay. So that's going to be, 8 points of damage. Do you want the type?
Yes, please.
That's going to be 5 points of piercing damage and 6 points of force damage.
Okay. Excellent.
Oh, and I get 2 attacks because we're level 5. So she does like 1 quick shot, and then for a 16 on the die, plus 7, so I'm assuming that hits.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to do 4, 5, 6, 7 points of piercing and 4 points of force. She just fires off, and she's going to aim for like the middle part where the mouth is.
Yeah, the arrows will sink in as smaller hands grab at the arrows and begin pulling it into the mouth.
Ooh, gross.
Lyris.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do something real fun, and I'm going to cast gun.
Cast gun.
Yes. Lyris pulls out a pistol from their hip, is going to take aim for a dirty 20.
Hits.
Perfect. And is going to deal 14 points of damage with the first shot, and I'm going to roll a hit again.
That's awesome.
For an 18.
Hits.
And that one's going to be 12 points of damage.
Hey.
Excellent. The bullets seem to tear into it. You can see with Miko's light on the creature, where the bright light is, the wounds aren't able to heal. Though if, you know, we see like on the edges of that, where it's dimmer, the flesh re-knits itself fairly quickly.
Oh, interesting. Just going to be like, Miko, do not look away from it.
Interesting.
What?
Migo, don't look away.
From what?
From the thing.
Huh?
What the fuck?
Migo, it is your turn.
Okay.
This affected you, but what, Darth could still see it, so you still have the mechanical monkey.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Do I get to like roll to like not have this on me or
It'll automatically go away at the beginning of your next turn, only affects okay. one if you fail that saving throw.
Okay, so let's see. What can Darth do? He can slam.
You can also roll me an Arcana check to recognize like the runes. Because you can still see all of that. You just have forgotten there's a monster there.
Let's do that. Let's roll Arcana super quick. 19.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, you as a warlock especially, you can definitely recognize that these are pact runes. Somebody has made a pact that summoned what is known as an avatar of apathy.
Can I like scuff one out with the toe of my boot?
Yeah, if you'd like to move all the way up to it, you can definitely try to
I just sort of saunter over. I think Darth is like screeching in my ear.
Lyra's gonna pull her fucking tentacles out of her head. Stressed.
Yeah, and Darth just sort of saunters over and toes at one with his boot. Migo, not Darth.
So Migo, with that 19, you definitely recognize the runes. You definitely know you can scuff to break this, especially with summoning spells. They obviously need something to bind with, right? Circles are the most common. And you can see that whoever did this, they're also using the metal of the piping here to bind the creature to one location. The creature you've forgotten about, right? Like, you can see where the pipes go in, but they, for some reason, stop in the section. That doesn't make sense because the water's not coming out. The runes on the broken water heater form a middle circle that is obviously helping this. And you can smudge those runes. It just would unbind this creature and not necessarily unsummon it.
I think if he realizes it would just unbind something and not unsummon it, he'll leave it alone. But he's definitely just going to like stand there looking at the runes. He's like, oh, that's interesting.
Are you telling me that he looked away from it?
Well, yeah. Yeah, now he's looking at the runes.
Yeah, your keen eyesight in the darkness would see those bullet holes starting to stitch up.
Oh, Lyra wants to cry. Crying is a reaction, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
And Miko's like, oh, this is really interesting.
Is it as interesting as the foot that's about to be up your ass, Migo?
Migo looks at you.
Look at the fucking wall!
He swings his gaze over to the wall. What?
And we're back at the top of the initiative as you swing your gaze back over as, like the old Predator movie effect, like the shimmer of where that creature is starts to take more form for you as the charm starts to wear down. And you see the multi-limbed body and form as it's staring down, and the hands will try to reach out to grab at you.
Oh no. Yeah.
As you are close enough.
Yeah.
With a 23.
Jeez. Yep, this is great.
Yeah, totally.
Go ahead and give me a dexterity saving throw.
You got this. Come on.
16.
You'll take 6 damage as the hands grab and try to pull at you, but you're able to get your mind wrapped around enough to pull away from it so they aren't able to pull you into the swarm of hands that are trying to grasp you from the wall.
I am going to hit it with a Hellish Rebuke.
Ooh. Ooh, cool.
Yeah, you are.
It makes a dexterity saving throw.
It will do this at disadvantage as it is bound to the wall.
Get him!
All right, it gets a 5.
Yeah, so it takes 4d10 of damage.
Holy shit.
Sick.
Unreal. Let's go.
So that is a total of 21 points of damage.
Wow.
Flames cover over it. The illumination from the flames especially really helps prevent its body from restitching it together as it is fully brought to light with your eye flashlights on it and on fire. It screeches horrifically.
Ooh.
Ari, it is your turn.
Okay. Migo looks okay, right? Because you only took that initial damage?
I mean, Migo looks a little fucked up, not gonna lie.
Okay.
And the apathy will wash over you, Delirium.
Okay, so I don't get to make a roll this time, right?
Right, you made the roll last time, but...
Gotcha. Okay, so I can just do two, right, like my 2 regular attacks, no bonus action.
Correct.
Okay.
She's going to not care about Miko, I guess. and just aim her bow.
That's not very good. Well, maybe. 16
to hit?
We'll hit.
Okay. And then I'm going to roll the other one just to see if it hit. Okay, that's a 19 on the die. So they're both going to hit. So the first hit is going to be 6 piercing and 5 force damage as she just once again, like quick succession, she's going to release 2 shots. Aim for the hands this time. Try to like stake them through the hands. Ooh, that's an 8.
Ooh.
8, 9. So that's 11 piercing and 2 force for the second hit.
Okay. It does have a reaction. Okay. Azira's plunge into it while it's on fire and illuminated. It tries to steal from you the memory of when it wasn't on fire.
Oh my God.
I do require a intelligence check.
From me or from?
From you, Delira.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not very good. That's a 9.
Guys, we're doing real great.
Yeah.
So with a 9, it's able to do 23 psychic damage to you.
She makes that noise. How much?
23.
It was great knowing you guys. I think we're dying here today.
As it seems to, what is it?
Kill me.
Parts of its body that were burnt just are unburnt.
Oh.
Though the fire still, you can still see where a lot of the fire has gotten it. It seems to heal partially back to a time before it was on fire.
Interesting.
This bit.
All right. Lyris.
Yes. Hi. Is there a light switch?
There is.
I would like to, with my 40. It's probably more. 40 feet of movement, I would like to go and flick the switch.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be no action.
No action required. Is the light come on?
Lights flicker on. The creature, of course, hisses angrily. You can see none of its wounds would start healing anymore.
Amazing. She smiles a bit, a little relieved. How far away from it is she now?
Yeah, you're about 20 feet away. You're over next to the washing machines, close to like the mattress on the ground, but still fair ways from the monster.
Okay. And is Miko like in my way from the line of shot or?
No.
Cool.
No, Miko was able to keep out of being grappled. Mm-hmm. So.
Amazing. I'm going to open fire, I guess. 13 plus 8.
Hit.
Okay. 13.
So the first one will hit, the second will miss.
Okay, fair enough. Let's see. So that's going to be 11 points of damage.
Yeah, the bullet will pierce through the side of the creature's skull, hand, or face there. But with the illumination light, it simply drips out some green ichor as it goes limp, pinned and held to the wall still by the hands that continuously twitch.
Perfect. She's going to get back up close and personal with it, moving 20 feet closer.
Memory fully restored, Miko. You're now staring at this limp outsider, this avatar of apathy that is gone completely still.
Is it dead? Or is it just sleeping?
Playing dead.
Playing dead. How close is Lyris?
You got up to the ruins, on the ground. So you're about 10 feet away from the body.
Lyris is like in melee with it. So within 5 feet.
So I think for now, Miko is just going to throw an Eldritch Blast at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as he does, he's like, Lyris, get away from it for the next time I cast something, please. So he's going to sling this Eldritch Blast. 15 plus 6, 21 to hit.
Absolutely.
So that's 11 points of force damage.
Its physical form kind of caves in a little bit. You know, outsiders and planar creatures don't have the same like physiology. So there's just kind of that that crack of kind of green ichor that seems to drip from its chest between the many fingers that are holding it.
There's 2 beams. I apologize. I'm level 5 now, so there's 2 beams.
Okay.
The second beam is a natural 20.
Oh, yeah.
How do you do crits? That's going to be 13 points of force damage.
Hell yeah. No, that the body, especially with the light on it, looks irreparable.
Does it look dead now?
It does. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, hands have stopped twitching on
the
lower part.
We stay here for 2 hours just hitting it,
slinging spells at it.
And you can feel it's kind of dead because all of a sudden, like, the vibrancy and colors of, like, its blood and the body and, like, the handyman's outfit and all of you can hear a little bit better and you can smell. You can recognize that smell that you missed earlier. It was the blood used to make the runes down here.
Oh, okay.
Does Deliria back with us?
Yeah, with the creature gone, the apathy will wear off in about 12 seconds.
Awesome. Okay. Lyra wants to keep shooting it, but she will refrain.
Restrain herself.
She's like, well, that was fucked.
Yeah, I really did not like that.
I'm sorry, it seems I missed out on most of the fight. Are you two all right?
You would guess by where this is that they are right below Athena's apartment.
Aww. Oh, this makes sense.
And you said the feeling went away, right? Like the apathy. Okay. Should we check her? We should like check her apartment and make sure it's safe before let her go back into it.
Larry's just going to snap some pictures of the scene with her cell phone.
The scene of the crime?
With her cell phone?
Yeah.
Is it weird saying that?
Who's rolling dice?
It is weird saying that, yeah.
No,
it's not me.
Dusty.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If that's okay, Jeff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Taking pictures of the area, you can see there is a data pad over amongst the blankets on top of the mattress that was down here.
Okay.
What does it say?
What does it say? Is there anything open on it?
Yeah, you can definitely open it up. It does look like it is locked, like they closed it out. Hmm. And so you may have to roll a hacking check to get into the electronic device.
Oh, Miko. Can I get some help over here?
Yeah.
What do you have to sleight of hand?
Me?
Oh, I have to sleight of hand. I thought Miko was going to have to
No. I'm sorry. I was asking Dusty, what is your plus to sleight of hand?
2.
Mine's a plus 3.
I got plus 5, but still. Oh.
My, my familiar can go into the... into the machine.
Yeah.
So Miko nods and you watch as the monkey goes into the machine. That is 16.
Okay. Yeah, with a personal device like this, it's just locked on a number grid, so it takes Darth a little bit, but finally it will pop open.
Darth pops out of the thing when it pops open and they high five.
Cute.
How cute.
Yeah, you're able to see a series of messages and emails and kind of correspondence with whoever the owner of this data pad was, speaking with somebody else. You can see by the tabs that are open, by the information here, that the person was in a fair amount of debt, was having some troubles finding a work and employment. Looks like they eventually started speaking with somebody under the username 15Bloom4020X that starts talking to them about ways that they can improve their lives, a ritual that would change their life. The thing is that you see the back and forth of the slow build up to them finally accepting that they would have to make a sacrifice in order to do this. From it, though, it looks as though the ritual was meant for every life that the Avatar of Apathy consumed, they would trade back that power to its summoner.
Ooh.
But you would see from this datapad the fake pictures that were sent out for the other handyman, which you can now confirm is on the ground at the base of the water heater.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Amongst all of this, you'd see, of course, the messages they explain, like debt and bank statements, that it goes to a person with the name of Dylan Reddings. Username was Calzone Scourge.
Calzone. Now I want a calzone.
Yeah.
Dylan. That's his name, right? Dylan?
Mm-hmm.
So, Deliria, I don't know what the protocol or whatever the fuck is after we're finished this stuff. I usually kind of bail after the fights, but
she puts her hand out to like take the data pad.
Like, do we call the what's the police called in this world?
Seekers.
Do we call seekers. The seekers, or like, what's the vibe?
I like to think that we work for an unnamed organization, Jeff, who does like investigative work that we report back to. What do you think?
Yeah, what's it? We call it the Rethi Detective Collective.
I love it. So I think Deliria will just take the data pad and we'll forward all of the information to that name that you just named that I already forgot because I didn't write it down.
The Rethi Data Collection? Is that what it was?
Rethi Detective Collective? Rethi. I just chose that because the initials are RDC.
That's so cool!
I love this.
Look at us. I'm writing it down. It's very important for this one shot that's about to end.
I have a whole page of notes. I don't know what you're talking about.
And this Dylan, does this Dylan, like, do we know this name? Is this like somebody?
No, it's not somebody who has showed up on your radar. Technically, you found the people that you were asked to find, right? That went missing. You're able to report back. You killed the creature here, though the person that made a pact with it is still out there.
Okay. So Deliria uploads the information. She sends it to RDC. and she just looks at the two of them and she's like, all right, information sent. Now we wait to get paid.
Sweet.
Miko stares at his phone, waiting for the money to come.
Miko, it may take a little bit longer. We should probably go get Athena.
Oh, yeah, we need to check her apartment, too, like you said, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, come on, Darth. And Miko starts heading up the stairs.
We follow.
Yeah, then I think that's a perfect place to end it.
Hey!
Yay!
Woohoo!
What a good time!
Yay. Thank you so much for playing, everybody. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us. This is a great time.
This is a really cool world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
I'm already obsessed.
Yeah, totally.
For everybody who doesn't know you, go ahead and give me your plugs.
Who wants to go first?
Take it away, Ari.
I mean, I'm just going to plug RDC because I don't use my regular socials anymore. You can find me, Ariana, and the rest of us at Rainbow Dice Club on any social media platforms or like most of them. And we run Tales of Three podcasts. So you can search Tales of Three on any of the podcasting apps and you'll probably hear our ad at some point on here. But we are an all queer Dungeons and Dragons dark fantasy podcast where the three of us all share the role of game master and players.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah, we do. Dusty, you want to plug?
You can find me on Blue Sky at Dusty Penny with two Y's.
And you can find me on most socials at Fake Shiny. That's it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Bye, 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 bye.
Bye.
Bye. Amazing.
Thanks for listening. Like, rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. You know, share us around. Our intro and outro are from Nihilor. You heard Everything Breaks. You also heard Cathedral, as well as Big City Dreams by Moses Harris Jr. and Mangled Mind. Sound effects by Pixabay. All right, thanks so much. Hope you're doing well out there. All right, bye.